every single Jumu'ah around the world, in every single khutbah, every khatib recites one famous verse. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is without a doubt one of the most oft recited verses in the whole globe, because how many times is this verse recited? How many masajid? And this has been the custom of the ummah for more than 1,300 years. By the way, the first person to institute this was the Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the famous Khalifa of the Umayyads. He, when he came to office in 99 Hijrah, there was an evil practice that was being done by his predecessors of cursing the other political party, which is the Ahlul Bayt. They were the threat to the Umayyads. So they had this, astaghfirullah, very vulgar practice of cursing those that they should not curse, and that is the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And so Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he came to power, one of the first things that he did, he made the decree that every khatib is going to remove that cursing. And instead of that, they're going to recite this ayah. And so that became the norm for the entire ummah, and it has remained the norm up until our time. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to reflect why that verse was chosen and why is this so profound. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala remarked that there is no verse in the Quran that is more comprehensive about morality than this verse. This is the most comprehensive verse about ethics, about morality. And it is mentioned in the books of Sirah that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to Mina during the days of Mecca, yani before he migrated to Medina, and he would tell the people about Islam, and he would ask the people to embrace Islam, one of the chieftains stood up and said, "What is this Islam? What is it? Explain to me, what are you calling to?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this ayah, "Inna Allaha ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba," to the end of the verse. And the chieftain said, "Wallahi, this is the makarim, this is the most noble thing I have ever heard, and what you are calling to, nobody can disagree with this." And it is said that Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, the father of Khalid, Khalid ibn Walid, the father of Khalid, you know, the one that was the chieftain of the Banu Makhzum. So Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, once he asked the Prophet as well to, "What is your message? What is the Quran say?" And so the Prophet recited this ayah to him, "Inna Allaha ya'mur bil adli wal ihsan," to the end of the ayah. And Walid came back a changed man. And of course it is in Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah mentions that فَذَرْنِي وَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا وَجْعَلْتَ رَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا وَمَهْتُولَ تَمْهِيدًا. This whole section is about Al-Walid when he heard this ayah, because Al-Walid was mesmerized, and Al-Walid said, "This Quran, it has a halawa, it has a beauty, and no one can overcome it, and I have no way of responding to it." So Abu Jahl said to him, "You had better do something, because people have seen that this verse has affected you." And so Allah describes us, that's another, you know, tangent of this. But how did that effect happen? Because the Prophet ﷺ recited this ayah, "Inna Allaha ya'nu bil adli." This ayah caused him to become so mesmerized. So this ayah is indeed a very profound ayah. It's a very comprehensive ayah. And in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands three things, and He forbids three things. And this ayah, the ayah preceding it is also very powerful. Allah says in the Quran, right before, so this is, by the way, ayah number 90 of Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 90. Ayah 89, right before it, Allah says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Quran, تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have revealed to you this Quran that is a clarification for all things. وَهُدًا. And it is a hidayah, and it is a mercy for mankind. So when Allah says, "We have revealed the Quran that is a clarification for everything," then Allah says this ayah, which actually really emphasizes this ayah. Allah is saying the whole Quran is a hidayah. We have revealed it to clarify. And then right after it, Allah says, "What is this Quran about? What is the tibyan? What is the hidayah?" "Inna Allaha ya'muru," with three things. Allah commands you three things. Number one, al-adl. Number two, al-ihsan. Number three, ita'id al-qurba. Al-adl. Allah commands you with justice. Adil, you treat people the way they deserve to be treated. Not how you like it, not what their status is, not what their background is. You are just with them. You are treating them fairly. You are not privileging anybody because of any other favor, because of any other background. No, everybody should be treated the way they deserve to be treated. This is adil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hadid, That لقد أرسلنا رسلنا. We have sent our prophets and we have given them miracles. Why? ليقوم الناس بالقسط, so that justice be established on earth. Allah revealed the books in order for justice to be established. And then Allah says, وأنزلنا الحديدة. Along with the Quran, we gave iron so that justice be established. If the Quran alone is not going to establish justice, then let there be a system that is enforcing justice. Allah Azza wa Jal has made justice the primary goal, or one of the primary goals of the reason of revelation and of sending the prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that in Surah Ar-Rahman, that وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ, that Allah has made them, وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ, Allah has made the mizan. One of the reasons why Allah has sent down the Quran, أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانَ. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, those that are acting with justice, Allah will place them on mimbars of light on the Day of Judgment. Those that act with justice will be placed with mimbars of light upon mimbars of light. And Allah mentions in the Quran, be just even against your enemies. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. There's a special ayah in the Quran. If you don't like somebody, somebody is your enemy, Allah says, make sure your own personal hatred does not get in the way of justice. Be just even with your enemies. That is the essence of taqwa. So justice is the very beginning. Adil, that's where you begin. And anything less than adil is going to be injustice. And then better than justice, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْنُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Ihsan is a higher level. Ihsan means you give more than the rights due and you're satisfied with less than the rights unto you. Ihsan, you give more and you're happy with less. And ihsan is the topic that we have spoken so many times about. Allah loves, wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin, and Allah is with the wallahu ma'al muhsinin. Allah loves the muhsin, Allah is with the muhsin. And Allah says in the Quran, hal jazaa'u al-ihsani illa al-ihsan. When you do your ihsan, I will do my ihsan. You do your limited perfection, I will do my ultimate perfection. So ihsan is you going above and beyond, you doing more than the minimum. Adil is the minimum. Adil, you do what is exactly due and you give them exactly one penny, not more, not less. That is adil. Ihsan, where you can, you go even more. Ihsan, you push the boundaries and you give them more than they deserve and you're happy with less. And ihsan is of different categories. The highest level of ihsan is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is, of course, the concept of worshipping Allah as though you see Him. When the Prophet was asked, what is ihsan? When the hadith of Jibreel, what is ihsan? The Prophet said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. That's the highest level of ihsan, ihsan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after this is ihsan to one's parents and to one's relatives. And ihsan in all statements. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak with husn, speak with good to people. And Allah azza wa jal mentions doing ihsan in your deeds. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has prescribed ihsan in all that you do. And he said in another hadith, Allah loves when you do something, you do it with perfection. Anything that you do, you should do it with perfection. This applies to our worldly tasks as well. When we have a chore, when we have our jobs, when we have any assignment, if we do it with ihsan, Allah loves it. And so ihsan, you go the extra mile and you do the best you can do. That is ihsan. So Allah is saying, I'm commanding adil and ihsan. Ibn Sirin, one of the tabi'un, he mentions this ayah can also be interpreted in a different way. Adil means your private and your public life are the same. Adil means the minimum, your private and public life should be the same. And ihsan, your private life is better than your public life. Ihsan, when you're alone, you do more than when you're in public. This is, of course, an interpretation that is fine linguistically. And as we know, the Quran has multiple layers. So one of the tabi'un, he mentioned, adil, make sure your private life and your public life is the same. This is acting in justice between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ihsan, the higher level, is that in public you're good, in private you're better. And so this is the level of ihsan. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. I forgot to mention, I jumped over. By saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ, this is a higher level of emphasis than saying, اِعْدِلُوا, be just أحسنوا, be practicing إحسان. Allah is saying, I am commanding this to you. So when you say it in that fashion, it actually adds level and weight. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. And then the third level, which is a special category, even go beyond إحسان where you can, and that is وَإِتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. For those that are close to you, try your best to even do more than just إحسان. So your parents, your relatives, your family, the qurba, those you give as much as you can. And of course, this is another topic well known, that the concept of silat al-rahim and the concept of being extra generous to your family. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, whoever wishes to live a longer life and to be given more wealth should be good to one's relatives. Whoever wishes to live longer and to have more wealth should be good to one's relatives. And in the famous incident in the seerah, which Allah revealed Quran about, the infamous story of the slander of Aisha, one of Aisha's cousins, Abu Bakr's cousins, astaghfirullah, was one that fell into the slander. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq made a halaf, oath to Allah, wallahi, I'm never going to have anything to do with that guy again. How dare he slander his own relative, my own daughter? How dare he say something? I used to help him, I'm not going to help him. I used to give him sadaqah, I would not give him sadaqah. And Allah revealed verses that we recite to this day, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Those that Allah has given wealth to, don't give an oath to Allah that you're not going to be good to your fuqara, to the masakeen, to ulil al-qurba, to your relatives. Because his cousin Mistah was a faqir and a miskeen and a muhajir and a relative. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the good qualities of the person's name is Mistah. And by the way, this shows you the cancel culture is totally wrong. The cancel culture that we're so rampant in our time. SubhanAllah, this ayah refutes the cancel culture single-handedly. Mistah made one of the biggest mistakes and is a mistake, and he repented and he was punished and Allah forgave him. Allah then says in the Quran to Abu Bakr, just because Mistah made the mistake, don't overlook all the good. He is your relative and he is faqir and he's miskeen and he's done the hijrah. So don't mention my name and say, you're not going to give money to your own relative. No, don't say this. Allah is saying, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive your relative. Give him another chance. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ الْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. These are the three things that Allah commanded. وَيَنْهَى. And Allah forbids three things. الْفَحْشَاء وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. Once again, three levels. فَحْشَاء, that which one's pure conscience will find disgusting. Fahsha, that which you yourself do not want people to know about. And generally speaking, in this context, fahsha are the personal private sins between you and Allah. Being vulgar, having bad akhlaq, or your own personal sins, whatever they might be, drinking, zina, whatever they might be. This is fahsha. This is something that fuhsh, something you find vulgar, demeaning. It's not something befitting. So, وَيَنْهَ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاء. And this shows us that one's conscience will tell you when something is wrong. Pure conscience is, they tell you when something is wrong. You feel this is not right. And when you feel this way, you feel a level of disgust, and that is fuhsh, that is fahsha. So, وَيَنْهَ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاء. Munkar, when the fahsha becomes public, other people criticize you, this is now munkar. So it's one thing to do sin privately, and that's bad. It's another thing to call people to sin, and to publicize the sin, and to normalize the sin. This is munkar. That is a higher level. So, I mean, just to give you an example in this context here. So, like fahsha would be like drinking or zina or anything, a private sin. Munkar, now public, astaghfirullah, zina, public nudity, public fahsha, this becomes munkar now. So munkar is a higher level because inkar is done. Inkar means people are saying, how can you do this? People are saying, don't do this. This is inkar, and Allah calls it munkar. And by the way, these are in societies that are pure. These days, nobody does munkar. Nobody says anything about munkar, and munkar has become normal. A'udhu billah, this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that munkar is not made inkar of. You understand what I'm saying here? That the default, why is munkar called munkar? That in any society, people would make inkar. people would say, don't do this. How are you doing this? Even in this country, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you know, there was dignity, there was decency, and men and women interacted in a dignified manner. And even if things happen, it happened behind closed doors, and that's bad. But to have it public is a higher level of evil. And this is munkar. And even this society would make inkar, and they would not like it. It was not normal. Our Prophet ﷺ predicted that one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that munkar would become normal. And the one who made inkar, people would make fun of him. What type of person are you? The one who criticizes the munkar would be the strange person. And this we are seeing in our times. Still, the ayah says, Allah forbids fahsha and munkar. And then the highest level of evil, I should say the lowest level of evil, is baghi. And baghi, transgressing the rights of other people. That is the worst evil that you can do. Because even if you do evil, or you promote evil, then the worst evil, you take the haq of another person. Something that is not yours. Something that is not your haq to do, you are transgressing. Baghi is to transgress. Al-bughat, they have gone beyond the red line. So baghi is to do injustice to other people. So you take the money of the orphan, or you steal, or you embezzle, or you force people to do something wrong. This is baghi. So fahsha, munkar, and baghi. So these are the three levels here. And of course, these three commandments is amazing. They all deal with mu'amalat. There's no rituals over here. They deal with interaction with one another. And Allah is saying, you cannot be a righteous person until your dealings with other people conform to this ayah. Good iman is not just salah and private ibadah. Good iman is manifested in how you deal with other people. Adal ihsan and ta'al qurba. And in avoiding fahsha and munkar and baghi. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Ya'idhukum means wa'adh is to speak something that is meant to move you emotionally. Wa'adh is a talk that is meant to move emotionally. This is wa'adh. So Allah is saying, this isn't just empty speech. This isn't just kalam that's meant to fall on deaf ears. Ya'idhukum. This is a commandment. I want you to be emotional and to act upon it. La'allakum tadhakkarun. Here, la'alla means perhaps, perchance, I want you to. La'allakum tadhakkarun. So that you can think and ponder over this ayah. This ayah is a comprehensive ayah that summarizes the akhlaq of Islam. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us of three noble things. You start off with adil, you move on to ihsan, and then there's a special category of dhil qurba. And he forbids us three things. Fahsha, personal sins. Munkar, that which is public and people are going to make inkar of, and the worst of them is to take the rights of other people. This ayah, as Ibn Mas'ud said, is the most comprehensive ayah in the whole Quran, and that is why Umar ibn Abdul Aziz chose it, as we said, to be recited in every single khutbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who understand this ayah and who may then make tadhakkur with it and follow it. Inshallah, we'll continue later on. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.